As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That is, in every aspect of how we live. We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life.
It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. That promise given thousands of years ago by Moses to Joshua is for you and me today, for all who are willing to follow the Lord. It comes from Deuteronomy 31:8. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you again today about the love of the world. In our beautiful New England autumn, I often think of one of my favorite poems, Edna St. Vincent Millay's poem, God's World. O world, I cannot hold thee close enough. Thy winds, thy wide gray skies, thy mists that roll and rise, thy woods this autumn day that ache and sag and all but cry with color, that gaunt crag to crush, to lift the lean of that black bluff. World, world, I cannot get thee close enough. Long have I known a glory in it all, but never knew I this. Here such a passion is as stretcheth me apart. Lord, I do fear thou hast made the world too beautiful this year. My soul is all but out of me. Let fall no burning leaf. Prithee, let no bird call. I love God's world. I love the beauty of autumn, the quietness of winter, the bare, stark, skeleton-like trees, the gray sea. I love the springtime. I love the summer. This is my Father's world. He made it. We're talking about two different worlds. In the sixth chapter of John, we were reading the story about how the crowd who had heard about or had participated in the feeding of the 5,000 came to Jesus, and Jesus said to them that the only reason they were following him was because they wanted loaves and fishes. But what he wanted to give them was something that lasts much longer than loaves and fishes, something that has to do with a different world altogether, an eternal world, an invisible world. He said, I know you've not come looking for me because you saw signs, but because you ate the bread and your hunger was satisfied. You must work not for this perishable food, but for the food that lasts, the food of eternal life. This food the Son of Man will give you, for he it is upon whom God the Father has set the seal of his authority. Then what must we do, they asked, if we are to work as God would have us work? Jesus replied, this is the work that God requires. Believe in the one whom he has sent. So their question is, can Jesus measure up to the miracle of the manna which they had when Moses was leading them? They said, what sign can you give us to see so that we may believe you? What is the work you do? Our ancestors had manna to eat in the desert. As Scripture says, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus answered, I tell you this, the truth is not that Moses gave you the bread from heaven, but that my Father gives you the real bread from heaven. The bread that God gives comes down from heaven and brings life to the world. So this challenge to Jesus, Moses gave our ancestors manna, bread in the wilderness. Now, what about that now? Can you top that miracle? Well, as a matter of fact, yes, says Jesus. The real bread that comes down from heaven, I can give you. It probably tastes better than manna, and it brings life. Well, there's still pretty worldly-minded, I think. And right away, their answer is, okay, give us this bread. Give us this bread now and always. And then Jesus must have startled them with this statement. He says, "I am the bread of life." It wasn't at all the kind of bread that they still had in mind. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never be hungry, and whoever believes in me shall never be thirsty. But you, as I said, do not believe, although you have seen." Now, these people, in the physical sense, had come to Jesus, hadn't they? But he's talking about coming in a different way. Whoever comes to me shall never be hungry. They had to come, and they had to believe. And just like that crowd of people, our worldly tendency today is to say, "Yes, I know all that, of course. That's the spiritual side. But right now, I've got to have some answers, some signs, some proof, something practical." And I have a hunch that I'm talking to somebody today who has a tangible need that you've been praying about, and you're really getting pretty discouraged in your prayers and thinking, "God's not listening. He's not going to do anything about this. Prayer doesn't really work. I might as well pack it in and go on my own. I need some signs, some answers, some proof, something practical," as though the Lord is not aware of what we need, of what we really need, far better than we are. The trouble with us is the same as the trouble with this argumentative crowd. We don't believe in him. "Give us this bread now and always," we're saying. And Jesus is saying, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never be hungry." What is the particular need in your life today? Is it a tangible, physical one? Very likely it is. But the first thing is to come to Jesus. You don't know what he has in mind. You know what you have in mind, what you think has got to be done in order to solve your problem. But if you come to Jesus in faith, in trust, wholeheartedly, presenting yourself before him, opening your heart to him, there's a world of difference in that kind of coming and the way this crowd came with their challenge and their unbelief. In Amy Carmichael's bedroom in Donavur, South India, there's a motto that says, "I know, fear not." And I think of those words that Jesus himself spoke to John when John was in exile on the island of Patmos. He was given a vision of Jesus, and he fell at his feet as one dead. And the Bible says, "He laid his right hand upon me, and he said, 'Fear not. I am the first and the last. I died. I am alive. I have the keys of hell and death.'" Wouldn't you rather commit yourself to the one who is the first and the last, to the one who has the keys, than to any human being? Jesus assures us today of his presence, his power, his full knowledge, perfect knowledge, a far more complete knowledge than mine of my problem, and of his mighty competence to supply whatever it is we need or think we need. But we must come. We must believe in him. Believing in him means turning over our worries completely, letting go of the desperate, frantic insistence that we must have this or that. "Give me a miracle, God. Give me a sign. Show me. Are you listening?" And just quietly hearing him say to us, "I am. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am your refuge, your strength, your fortress. I am the one who knows. I am the one who loves you. I am the one who died for you." If we come to him with an open heart, open ears, open mind, open hands, He'll give us what we really need. What we need, perhaps far more than the thing that we've been banging on his door about for a long time. He's saying, what you need is me. What you need is bread that lasts. Stop thinking about worldly things, temporal things, physical, visible, tangible things. Stop thinking about those things long enough to quiet your heart in me, to calm down, and to rest. Just believe in me for a change. I will help you. I really believe that the greatest barrier to our coming to know God is worldly mindedness. We are so determined to have laboratory proofs of his existence, to have tangible answers to our prayers, to get, like the crowd, the loaves and fishes, the physical food. We need to believe that God is aware of all those needs. He said, don't worry about things like what to eat and what to wear. Those are things that non-believers worry about. Take no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow will take thought for the things of itself, but seek first the kingdom of God, the invisible kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. Is your mind a worldly one? Ask God to make it otherworldly.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.